Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Hey, greetings, and thanks for joining us today here on Faith in Your Recovery. We welcome you. We're glad you're a part of us. Hey, this is going to be one of those episodes where you're going to want to hurry afterwards to click on like and then subscribe to our podcast, okay? That way we can keep you abreast of what's going on and our future ones. But for now, we're thankful you're with us. Our guest today from here in the Anderson area is Niecy Terry. Welcome, Niecy.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. It's good to have you with us. Let's just jump in here. We want to hear about your story. They've heard enough from me over these 169 or so episodes. But what is the first thing you want us to know about you, your past, present, future? It's up to you.
Well, I'll start with a little information about myself.
Super.
My name is Niecy. I am, I think, 36 years old. I originally come from Terre Haute, Indiana, but I did live in Indianapolis for approximately 10 years. And then I found my way to Anderson in April of last year. And, yeah, I have a couple of sisters, older ones than me. And I'm just happy to be here today.
Well, we're thankful to have you. Niecy, let's go back in those early years when the struggle began. Tell us about that and how it began, what it did to your life, your struggle with drugs at that time.
Okay, well, I'll start from the very beginning because that has a lot to do with it as well. So, I found out at a very young age that I was adopted at the tender age of 8 months. And my adoptive mother also informed me that my biological mother was an addict. She was addicted to crack cocaine and she was an alcoholic. And I was actually born addicted to crack cocaine. So that kind of put some emotional toil on me. But I grew up as a teenager. You know, I grew up and I was raised to pretty much get good grades in school and to do the right thing, to be honest, you know, pretty much the average stuff that your parents teach you growing up. For the most part, I was pretty good. You know, we went to church. I can remember me and my mom going to church almost every single Sunday. Couldn't miss a Sunday. If you didn't go to church, you didn't go to play, you didn't do anything else. I would say the drugs probably started, I think, when I was around about 15 or 16 years old.
You're still in high school.
Yes.
Probably a sophomore, junior kind
mm-hmm.
of.
Yes.
Okay.
And I had got introduced to marijuana. I had smoked with one of my close girlfriends in high school. And at first, I honestly didn't even like it. But there was just something that was like, try it again. You might like it this time. So I did. And after that, I loved it. I fell in love with marijuana. I smoked marijuana for quite a long time.
Off to the races.
Yes. And then, so throughout high school, I pretty much just smoked weed and drank alcohol. A lot of my friends or peers around me were into pills and other drugs, but I wasn't interested in any of that stuff. I just liked my weed and I did drink every once in a while, you know, at parties or special occasions, stuff like that. And then when I went to college, I went to Vincennes University and I met my roommate. She was a big partier. She loved to drink every weekend. So we would drink pretty much every single weekend. And I was still smoking weed then. But it was around that time when I was in college that I had got introduced to Xanax and started taking Xanax. I started taking Xanax in college. And then around July, it was my third year in college. It was like July of 20. Let's see. 2011, July of 2011. I was home for summer break from college, and my brother, my older brother, had been shot and killed. He had passed away. And we were really close, so that took a really big toll on me.
How much older was he than you, Niecy?
He was 10 years older than me.
Was this drug-related in any way?
No, he was shot and killed. He was murdered.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. So because my father had already passed away, my big brother was like, he took on that father role. He was like my protector. You know, he tried to keep me in line as much as he could. You know, tried to show me certain things, teach me certain things that my father was, you know, should have taught me or was supposed to teach me. And when he died, I was really heartbroken and depressed. I fell into a really deep depression. So I started really abusing Xanax, and I was still smoking weed and still drinking. And my life had definitely spiraled out of control. There was a time where I was so badly addicted to Xanax that I was just stealing like crazy. It was like I couldn't help myself. And I actually ended up stealing a lot of money from my mother. And she kicked me out of the house.
Niecy, what was it about the Xanax that worked for you? What is it that kept you moving for it and involving yourself and chasing it?
You know, that's a good question, because all Xanax makes you do is be asleep. It makes you sleepy. So I think I was just numbing the pain, honestly. I was just numbing myself. I didn't really know how to deal with life, and it just numbed me. You know, I often blacked out, couldn't remember my days. So it was just a form of getting through the day, really.
Okay.
Lost jobs because of it and everything.
So you had just talked about stealing that money so much from your mom, so go ahead with that.
So I did that, and then she kicked me out of the house. And then I moved in with a friend for a few months, and then after those few months, my cousin had came down one weekend, and she was like, you should just move to Indianapolis with me. Well, I took her up on her offer, but came to find out that I wasn't moving to Indianapolis with her. She didn't really have her own place. And I moved to Indianapolis with $300 in my pocket, which is not enough money to do anything. But fortunately, I had a relative who lived in Indianapolis that let me come live with her. So I lived with her for a while. I was doing really good. I had a job. I had ended up getting my own apartment on the north side of Indianapolis. At this time, I was not on Xanax anymore. I had weaned myself off. I had just stopped cold turkey. And I actually stopped before I moved to Indianapolis. I just didn't like it anymore. I just stopped. But so I had abandoned my apartment and moved in with my sister. And I was kind of just bouncing around from couch to couch, living with friends and different relatives for periods of time.
Basically homeless.
Yes, basically. And then I had got a job at Wendy's, one of the Wendy's in Indianapolis. And that's where I met a young lady who introduced me to powder cocaine. I was just curious about it, really, honestly. I don't know why I was so curious about it. But I when I was younger, I had swore that I would never do anything like that. But curiosity got the best of me, and I tried it, and I liked that too. I fell in love with that also. So I did powder cocaine for a few years, and then I had stopped doing powder cocaine for about a year, and I met another young lady who introduced me to crack cocaine. And she, you know, it was funny because for the first 2 weeks that I met her, you know, I knew that she did that drug, but every time I asked her to let me try it, she would tell me no. She would say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not letting you try it. No. So when she finally gave in, she was like, look, I'm not responsible for whatever happens after this. I was like, okay, it's going to be okay. You know, I can stop if I want to.
Don't you wish.
So I tried it. I still remember that high to this day. And at that time, it was the best feeling that I had ever felt, I thought. It was amazing, I thought. But, you know, with that came a lot of heartache, pain, physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, mental illness. So I was addicted to crack cocaine, and I smoked crack cane for about 6 years. And during that period of time, I was definitely homeless, did not have a place to stay. I was living in the streets. I've lived in cars. I've lived in abandoned buildings. I've lived in abandoned houses. I've lived with significant others, relatives. I've lived on the street. I've just homeless shelters. I tried rehab centers about 6 different times, but none of that really worked. So
what was the, let me back up. How many years total would you say you struggled with addiction of all those drugs that you've mentioned, starting back with the marijuana?
20 years.
20 years of your life.
20 years of my life.
And you said earlier you're 34, 35, right there?
Yeah, I'm somewhere around 36.
So over half of your life then was devoted, if that's the right word, to those drugs, at least controlled by them.
Yes.
What was the lights on moment that led you out of that, that helped you climb out of the darkness of that hole of addiction? What was it, a bottom, or was it an inspiration? Tell us about that time and how you were able to take that first step forward.
Well, the last 3 years of my cocaine addiction, I was in a very, very, very abusive and toxic relationship with a man. He beat me constantly. He hospitalized me 3 different times. He was very physically abusive, mentally abusive, verbally abusive. He was just not a good person at all, especially not for someone like me. And I tried many times to get out of that relationship, but something always drew me back to him. I don't know what that something was. I don't know. It was probably just the drugs, honestly. But I remember one time I had actually been able to convince him to go to church with me one Sunday. And we went to church. And whenever we left to go home from church, he actually assaulted me in the church parking lot. And I think that right there was like the eye opener. Like, this man has to be the devil. Like, who does that? Like, who would do that? So,
were you going to church prior to that, prior to his going with you?
No, or I was not.
Okay.
No, I was not. But, you know, I had been through some things. I had been through a lot of things trying to get clean before that. You know, I just feel like God was trying to draw me close to him. I remember when I was really, really high one day, I was trying to go to sleep and I was laying down on this comforter. And I swear the comforter pattern had flowers on it. But I was so high out of my mind, it looked like a picture of devil and Jesus going back and forth, going back and forth. And to me, that said that God is trying to tell me, like, if I don't stop, you know, I have to choose heaven or hell. Which one do I want? So things like that just kept occurring. Like, I could feel like I heard Jesus calling me. Like, there was a few times I'd be outside and nobody else would be around. And I could hear my name being called loud and clear. And I'm looking around. I'm like, somebody call my name? And they're like, no, there's nobody even out here. And I'm like, okay. So one day I just prayed. I prayed really, really hard. And I'm a crier, so I do apologize. But I prayed. And I begged God to save me. Because I was tired of being in the streets. I was tired of being abused. I was tired of selling my body for drugs. I was just tired of that life. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for God to save me. I tried to even, what do you call it when you like make a deal with God?
Barter
yes,
with him.
I tried. Yes. Yes. I tried to barter with him. You know, like if you save me this last time, I promise I'll do this or I promise I'll do that. And I don't know. It was like one day I literally just woke up and I said, I'm done. I'm done with doing drugs. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. And ever since that day, which was March 29th of 2024, I walked away from drugs and I never looked back.
So it's not been a year yet.
Not quite.
Or
Not quite. Almost.
Not quite. Just a matter of days away. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. I will never forget that day. I literally woke up. I think I might have did drugs maybe one or two times that day. But after that, I said, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. This is stupid. Like, this is dumb. I'm not doing this anymore. I barely have a way to feed myself. I barely have clean clothes to wear. You know, I never know where my next meal is coming from. I never know when something's going to happen. I've watched people around me overdose and die. Like, this is stupid. You know, I have to stop this. So I did. And I was able to get in contact with a friend who is actually from Anderson, but he lives in Indianapolis. And I called him and I said, because he had offered me before, like, hey, if you need me, you call me. So I called him and I was like, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to get out of the streets. I'm ready to do something different. I don't want to do this anymore. So he came and picked me up that day and I went to go stay with him. And it's another crazy story how I ended up in Anderson. So when I was staying with him, I was looking for a job and I could not find a job to save my life. Like he lived like on the outskirts of Indianapolis and it was just really hard to get a job that I could have transportation to, you know, that was close enough for me to get to. And, you know, I had made up my mind that I didn't want to live in Indianapolis anymore anyway. So I had prayed again. I said, God, I don't want to be here. I want to get out of Indianapolis. Please get me out of here. I don't want to be here. So I thought that God was going to send me to South Carolina to live with one of my aunts. But it just so happened that a person that I was Facebook friends with, and that's another crazy story. He had a restaurant business here in Anderson, and he must have either fired his whole entire staff or I don't know what exactly happened. But anyway, he ended up needing help with his restaurant business and he made a post on Facebook and basically asking if anybody would be willing to move to Anderson to help him with his business. And, you know, he told us that he would pay, you know, for everything that we needed and we would not have to worry about anything. And I saw that as my ticket. But, you know, I say it's a funny story because I had actually inboxed him like a couple months before he made that post and asked him, could I come and work for him? And he like blew me off. But then when I reached out to him this time, he was like, okay, you sound like the perfect candidate. You don't have any children. You don't really have anything going on. Yeah, come on, let's go. So he sent an Uber to me that day and I came down here and I helped him with his business and I've been here ever since.
Are you still working there?
Actually, no. Unfortunately, he was shot and killed last summer.
Wow.
Yeah, in Indianapolis. And he's no longer with us and his business is no longer around in Anderson, unfortunately. But I am very grateful that he gave me the opportunity to get out of Indianapolis because it has changed my life. I owe much gratitude to him. I'm so thankful. I wish he was still here so he could see this. And so I could tell him that he has helped change my life tremendously.
So he's obviously one of the bigger influences in your past, and
yes,
you're moving forward in a positive way.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy how things happen.
I'm thinking back to a little bit ago when you said you heard God calling your name, and it was basically as if he was screaming it to you. It was so loud. I think it's crazy how when you listen with your heart, it comes across so much more loudly than if you listen with your ears.
Yeah, it does.
That when God speaks to your heart, if you'll tune in, man, he's going to turn it on. And he's got something to say.
Yes.
He's busy, not
he
too
does.
Busy for any one of us.
Yes.
But when he speaks, he's got a purpose. He's got
yes.
a plan. And
definitely.
It will take that step and just follow him in obedience. There's nothing but good that's ahead. Oh, there'll be bad days, bad moments, but life changes. I'm going to guess now your worst day is better than your best day back when you were chasing the drug and when you were homeless.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yes, definitely.
And that's the way God works with us. Now you say that God's at the core of your being.
Yes,
I can understand why. 100%. How do you live that out? Him being the core of your being.
Well, I am a member of a church here in Anderson. Shout out to my church, Straight Gate Community Church on Broadway. But every single day, I read a daily devotional. And I read in my Bible, and I also have prayer cards with little scriptures on them, and I do pray first thing in the morning, as soon as I wake up. That's the first thing that I'm doing. And I just, you know, I just pay attention and listen to his voice. He definitely guides me and directs me where he wants to lead me, because I did have to surrender to him, surrender everything to him, and allow him to take control of my life, because my life was out of control. So, you know.
And I want to put an asterisk on that and go, it's not just those who in addiction who have to make that surrender. I never had addiction issues. I've not dealt with any of these things you're talking about, basically. I was a good guy, but that didn't make a difference in God's sight. I still had to surrender all I was to him to become the person he wants me to be. That you can't be good enough to get in. You've got to be surrendered to him and name him and claim him as your savior and live that life to the best of your abilities. How do you go about, I don't like to say paying him back, but how do you pay it forward in your behaviors and your work with others?
So I do like to do service work. Like, I've always been a giver. That's like my nature. I've always been a giver. So there are some times when, like, I do know a few homeless people here in Anderson, and I work somewhere where I'm able to provide food if I have, you know, the resources to pay for it at the time. So there are a couple of homeless people that I will buy food for every once and again. Or, you know, I've served at, like, over the winter, they had the warming center and stuff like that. I went and served over there with some of the girls from Willow Place. And just any service acts that I can do. I do like service. So that's one way. And just, you know, just trying to remain faithful, like he has been to me. And Amen. Just remembering that he is the one and he is the reason that I am where I am today.
Okay, Niecy, we've got a question from one of our listeners. Eric, will you help us out with that?
Yeah, this is from Ryan Campbell. Ryan wants to know, what advice would you give someone who can't seem to stop relapsing? When you're face-to-face in the moment of giving into addiction, how do you not use in that moment?
Thank you, Ryan. Go ahead, Niecy.
That is a great question, Ryan. Literally the only thing that I know how to answer that is, if you don't believe that there is a God or that Jesus is real, I need you to start believing that right now. And if you do believe, I need you to ask him to come in and save you. That's exactly what I did. I had to ask for God to save me. We cannot do this on our own. We don't got this on our own. The only person that can save us is God himself. And you have to absolute surrender. That's the only way it is possible. You have to say, okay, I know I can't do this, but God, you can. So please help me.
Amen. Good answer. Good answer. You know, maybe it's a good time now, Niecy. I know that you like to call this testimony by the title of Beauty from Ashes.
Yes.
I know about that statement in the scriptures.
Yes.
You've got your Bible there with you. Go ahead and explain why you've chosen that and what it means to you.
So actually, the day that Candy had reached out to me about the podcast, she told me that she wanted me to come up with my own title. And I told her, I said, girl, I got to pray on that, because I don't even know what to call it. So I literally was laying in bed and I had already prayed about it. And it just hit me, like God just said loud and clear, Beauty from Ashes. I said, okay. So I Googled it, because I really didn't know where it came from. Like, I've heard people say it before and I've heard references to it, but I didn't know where it really came from. So when I Googled it, it said that it came from the Bible. So I looked up the scripture that it comes from in the Bible. And this is what that scripture says. It says, "The spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor."
Boom. What's that mean to you?
So to me, that means that addicts, we are the brokenhearted. We are the captives.
The poor.
We are the poor. And especially for some reason, I just feel like the year 2025 is the year of the Lord's favor. And he will use people like me who are able to recover or at least experience recovery. You know, he will make us go out there and tell people, hey, look what God did for me, and he can do it for you too. He'll turn your ashes, you know, to beauty. And I honestly feel like that is what he did for me. If I showed you guys pictures of what I looked like when I was addiction compared to now, you guys would definitely agree with me.
I want you folks who are listening to know the idea of ashes was a sign of mourning. Mm-hmm. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, not the A-M kind of mourning.
And what do we think about whenever we think of mourning? Being sad, grieving. And that's how a lot of us addicts are whenever we're in our active addiction. We're sad and we're grieving because we want our life to be normal, but it can't be because we're so busy chasing a high.
Exactly. Exactly. What would be your message from that scripture that you particularly want folks to hear? I like the idea of this is the time. This is the year of the Lord.
That's
now. It's not
yes.
past tense.
Yes.
It's not future. It's now. And God wants to speak to you now.
Yes.
He's not waiting for a chance to get his foot in the door. And he's ready. He's wanting you to be ready. Pardon me. I just had to go into that mode.
Randy, you hit it on the head. That's
awesome.
Exactly what sticks out to me the most, that this is the year of the Lord's favor. So no matter how many times you've tried, if you really surrender yourself and give your all to him, he will do it for you like he's done it for me. There is purpose. There is purpose. There is purpose that we all have to live this life. And he will reveal it to you. If you just believe, you just have to believe, and you have to really want it. You know, you have to believe it with your whole heart that he will do this for you. It is the year of the Lord's favor.
The time is now,
like Randy said.
Yeah. I was having conversation with my daughter-in-law this last week. She heard a phrase she had never heard, considering this change of heart that we've got to go through. It's the idea of your heart posture. It's the idea of feeling it and going beyond feeling it to experiencing it on the inside, which needs to bring about a change that's seen on the outside. The scriptures say that man looks on the outer person. God looks on the inner. God wants our heart right, not just what we show others, not just what others think, but he wants to know, and we need to know that we're right from the inside out instead of the outside in. We don't have to impress the world. We've just got to get it right with God. And through his son, we can do that. So what is it, Niecy, that through that friend of yours that's influenced you in your recovery, this scripture, beauty from ashes, what is it in all of that that you would really like to pound home to anybody that's listening? From your past experiences, a toxic and dangerous relationship, your homelessness, everything else that you've been through, obviously you're at a place, you're higher and nearer that mountaintop than you've ever been, and hooray for you, and thank God that he's gotten you there. But what is it that you feel you could offer to those who are listening who were where you are, and how to take that next step forward in Christ?
So I'll say this. I have been through, to me, what is hell and back. I have been through so much with my addiction, being beat on, being raped, being just dragged through the mud, completely destroyed my character, my self-esteem, what I feel like is my worth has just been destroyed at one time. But recovery is definitely possible.
What's recovery mean to you?
Recovery to me means getting back something that you have lost. And we are often lost when we're in recovery. So if you lose your way, if you lose your life, it can be found again. You just have to truly believe that it can be done, number one. You have to be strong. You have to stay strong no matter what. Just pay attention to people like me and to the signs that are around you that it's time. It's time for you to get out of addiction. But first and foremost, just know that you cannot do it on your own. But there are ones out there that can help you succeed in your recovery.
I've always said recovery is not in our DNA. It's through the blood of Christ. It's not in our blood. And the idea that we can't do it alone, there are those who want to help you and do the best they can. They can maybe get you to recovery, but they can't get you to freedom. Freedom only comes through Christ. And if we start there, we find that freedom from the drug, that freedom from the oppression that it creates and the struggle that goes along with it on a daily basis. I am convinced that you cannot make it without him. Go ahead. Anything else to that?
That's pretty much it. I feel the exact same way. Every day I have to tell myself that I am nothing without God. I am nothing without the Lord. I have to surrender, because I still have things that I have to work out in myself to be a better person, to be a better Christian, and to keep my recovery intact. Every single day, there are steps that I have to take to make sure that I stay in recovery.
So what are some of the disciplines that you do employ in order to stay in recovery?
Well, the most important is people, places, and things. I definitely try to stay away from, people from my past that would influence me to go back to that lifestyle. I definitely will not be going back to live in Indianapolis anytime soon. but also keeping a strong support system around me. I do have a lot of friends here in Anderson that I have met through certain avenues that are very supportive. I do attend meetings every week, multiple sometimes a week. I do have people that I can call on if I'm struggling, and also being involved in my church, I believe, also is part of that. It helps a lot.
That's a pretty good package. Yes. Right there. And if you can stay within those parameters, you're going to continue to beat this and defeat it and live that life of victory in it all. So hooray for you. Is there anything you want to say as we start to wrap this up here, Niecy, whether it's a repeat of something or a comment you came with that you wanted to share with us? Can you think of anything?
Just that, never give up. There is hope. Where there is will, there is a way. There is a God, and he can help you. Recovery is definitely possible. I am a living, breathing testimony to that. I never thought that I would recover. For a moment, I thought that I was going to be an addict for the rest of my life, but God has shown me that it definitely is possible. I'm so grateful that he has given me purpose in life, and anybody can have the same. You just have to really want it, and you also have to believe.
Amen. And congratulations on your upcoming year of being clean 1 year. And you can't get to five if you can't get to one, and then you move on to the five. So as we wrap up here, one last question. Future plans for Niecy. What's a couple of your dreams that you know you're going to make happen?
So I know I'm still very early in my recovery, but one of my big goals right now is to actually become a peer recovery specialist. I think that I would be a great addition to that field, just, you know, going through what I've been through, learning through great teachers about recovery, and just the experience, honestly, that I've had. That is something that I really want to pursue. And then from there, I would love to go into addictions counseling and go back to school to get that degree. But right now, I'm just taking it one day at a time. That's all I can do right now, is just
awesome,
take it one day at a time.
Aspirations.
Yes.
And as you get nearer to that peer recovery coach training and everything that goes with it, ABLBH, I'll make it clear here with our listeners and with you, we will commit to helping make that happen financially for you. If there's a need, we'd love to be a part of it, because it's obvious you're going to do big things. You're already doing them right now just by coming here. I don't mean that out of arrogance, but the willingness to be transparent, to share your story and everything that goes with that. We want to be a part of your future. And I understand you're a part of the ABLBH chapter here in Anderson.
Yes, and I definitely would like to say thank you to my ABLBH family. When I first got to ABLBH and I read Brianna's story, it made me cry like a baby. And I just felt like that was God telling me, if I did not get out when I did, that might have been how my story could have ended. So I owe it to them, and also to Willow Place Women's Shelter as a huge part of my recovery journey. I love you all, and I thank you so much.
It takes
for
a village to help somebody out, okay? Not just raise a child, but to help somebody out. And for those of you who may question those initials, ABLBH, that's a better life. Brianna's Hope, we're a support and recovery movement throughout Indiana and Western Ohio. You can check out our website at ablbh.org and get more information. You can find out where our chapters are located. There's much more on there, videos and comments, all kinds of guides. We'd love to have you become a part of our program. Folks, Niecy's why I told you in the beginning, you're going to want to click that like button as well as subscribe, and we hope you'll do that. Niecy, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for the change you've made. I know it's through Christ, but you had to make the choice to change, and you're the one who's got to plow the field. He may provide that plow, but you're plowing it. You're getting it harvested. Hooray for you, and God bless.
Thank you, Randy.
Good to have you with us, folks. Tune in again this next week. We'll be back here. We look forward to seeing you. God bless you. We love you. Stay in the battle. Amen.